Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession, and I go around the world wide web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Look out for that backhand. This is Wretched Radio. No, I'm not talking about tennis, perhaps the greatest sport ever conceived. I'm talking about Carl Truman. You say, what's a Carl Truman? I say he's one of the great thinkers of our day. Don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to be around people who are just plain smarter than the rest of us. I don't have to look far to discover those people, but they're just identifiable because they speak at a level that is just more transcendent than the rest of us. Yeah, they use bigger words, but they also talk about bigger concepts, and you can tell they've read and retained a lot. There's just some people that are smarter than others, and I think Carl Truman is one of those guys. He's also the author of Strange New World. It is a book that if you have not invested the time to read, you should. We've reviewed a fair amount of it here on Wretched, but I do encourage you to read it because it will give you a number of aha moments without Oprah Winfrey. And that's not a bad deal, where you will find yourself saying, oh, that's why we're like this. Oh, that's why we're behaving like that. Carl Truman writing an article about childish churches. And you're likely going to be able to cheer for, well, pretty much all of this until he backhands those who maybe have lost sight of the church's mission. Before you say, is it I, or probably more likely, it's not I, get ready for this backhand. Carl Truman, the article from Christian Post, for the church to be relevant, it must avoid childish things. Isn't that exactly what the church has become, childish? You don't need to look further than your local megachurch to discover, wow, it's just really juvenile. Puerile in a lot of ways. This is what he writes. Canterbury Cathedral, you ever been there? It's glorious. They had a silent disco in February. In Peterborough's Cathedral, they're going to have a rave in November. Cool. Cathedrals that are relevant, Truman writes. These buildings were built for the serious and sacred purpose of worship. That was why generations invested decades and many resources to build them, to use them now for events that could easily be held in a makeshift tent, says much about the sacred nature of the trivial hedonism of our age. In other words, the society is having a greater impact on us than we're having on it. Isn't that pretty obvious at this point? That the world has really overrun the church, forcing it to capitulate on issues that are so obvious. I mean, really? Really? A boy can be a girl, and we're having breakout sessions at our latest church conference to determine just how we're going to address this issue in a sensitive way. Well, here it is. These people need help. There it is. They need to have their brains rewired just like the rest of us do. It's called sanctification, and the only way to get on that highway is through the on-ramp of regeneration. That is the only way the world will stop thinking in such bonkers constructs. I mean, really? And the world seems to have made its muscle flex inside of the church to the point where we've said, we give up, we give up, we won't talk about these things. Well, we're not going to make the current cultural trend the flag that the church carries. We carry a different banner, never changes, has the name of Jesus Christ on it. And we're certainly aware of cultural moments, but they are not going to conform the church into such a degree that that's what we're actually about. We're about proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yeah, we'll talk about this stuff because that is the church's mission. That is what we are supposed to be about. And that's what Carl Truman's article is about, that the church has lost its way by capitulating to the world and becoming downright childish. And these two examples, I think, are sufficient to demonstrate what is a glory, these glorious churches. You're doing a rave party, and somehow the leaders in the Anglican Communion have said, well, yeah, that's a way of reaching lost people. Okay, let's just give the benefit of the doubt and say, maybe. But what does that have to do with the church being the church? There's still other ways to reach lost people. It's called evangelism. It was interesting. By the way, speaking of evangelism, Paul Washer, I just saw a clip of Paul Washer. I can't recall what he was talking about, but he said that he believes there are three offices in the church. Isn't that fascinating? That's Ephesians 4, that some are apostles and prophets. Those guys are all dead. There's nobody who can qualify for those roles anymore. And some as evangelists, elders, and servants, deacons. And he said that he believes there is a third office in the church, and that office would be the office of evangelist. Now, interestingly, if you want to do a study on church polity, you should take the time at least to engage with Jonathan Lehman's book. I believe it's called Don't Fire Your Congregation. And he makes the case, I don't think I can go that far to say that the congregation is an office. Lehman does. That you as a congregation, that I as a member of a church, that is an office. I don't see that. Having said that, I also don't see that the congregation is just meant to be attenders and witness what goes on Sunday morning. I believe that the church, the entire church body, we all hold the keys of the kingdom. We all have the responsibility to proclaim the gospel, to defend the gospel, and to render verdicts about the gospel, aka church discipline issues, and proclaiming to somebody who says, I've repented and put my trust in Jesus Christ, and I really, really mean it. We can say, then you should know. If that is indeed the desire of your heart to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know your sins are forgiven. We get to make that proclamation. It's given to us in the keys of the kingdom doctrine, which is found in really both Matthew 16, 18, and John 20. That's a lot of responsibility for a congregation. But I wouldn't say that that is an office inside of the church, because I think that just the case can't be made. As hard as Jonathan Lehman tries, I just don't think that that case can be made. But I digress. The church is supposed to be about our master's business. And that means we don't act like children. Back to Carl Truman. This childishness is the inevitable outcome of the kind of theological liberalism that has dominated so many churches for several generations. I say the childishness, that's the only place that liberalism can go. That is the trajectory. And Carl Truman points out in this article, it's a little bit ironic. I think that it's actually kind of a no-brainer. That this is where else can liberalism go? Liberalism isn't going to become increasingly high-minded, despite the fact that the founders of liberalism, guys like Schleiermacher, Dodd, Robinson, they were big thinkers. They're like Carl Truman. They're wrong, but they were big thinkers. And they were the ones who really propelled, at the beginning of the 20th century, the concept of Protestant liberalism. They were above-average brains. And they had some ideas that caught fire, but the inevitable trajectory is going to be toward childishness. Truman. Paul thought that the outsider who blundered into a Christian service in his day would be overcome with a sense of the holiness of the God being worshipped. Today's hapless intruder into the Peterburg Cathedral might be overcome too. by the deafening noise and cringeworthy sight of grown-ups cavorting like teenagers as the two great spiritual pathologies of our modern world, which would be desecration and childishness, come together. Now, you say, amen! Here comes the backhand. Liberals do not have a monopoly on this. Any professing Christian who speaks of the big man upstairs or who apes the childish idioms and brickbats of our current political moment is guilty of the same. Did you feel that backhand? That we have a propensity to be distracted by the things of the world? It doesn't mean we're not aware of them. But Truman's point is, if we have become consumed by this political moment, I'm not saying it ain't important, but it is not the kingdom that Jesus is building. That would be the church, which endures forever. And that means the church can't be distracted. We can be aware. We can be informed. We can even proclaim it from the pulpit, if you don't mind me saying so, that we can say, there's a political party that is just plain antichrist. I think Franklin Graham recently said that. We can do that, but if we're going to be distracted and consumed by this current political moment, then gulp. We're no better than the churches that put on rave parties. Oh, thanks, Carl. This is Wretched Radio.
Marriage and parenting, they're beautiful gifts from God, are they not? But let's be honest, they're also challenging. In this world that we're living in right now, many families are struggling just to survive. But what if you and your family could truly thrive? Introducing Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, a new production from Fortis Institute. Pastor Brad Bigney brings over 30 years of pastoral experience and 36 as a biblical counselor to help your family flourish. With Thrive, you'll discover how marriage can be more than just a legal status. It can be a living billboard for the gospel. Whether you're newlyweds, busy parents, or empty nesters, Thrive offers biblical insight to revolutionize your home life. Pastor Brad Bigney doesn't just offer quick fixes. He applies the wisdom of God's word to your daily walk, helping you build a family that, again, doesn't just survive, it thrives. Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. Available now at FortisInstitute.org or the Fortis Plus app. FortisInstitute.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Some people call it Halloween, others of us call it Reformation Day, but later this month, countless children will be knocking on our doors all over this country. You don't have to turn the porch light off and say, I don't celebrate this day. No, you can seize the opportunity with us here at Fortis Institute. This year, we're offering you a powerful way to engage. For a limited time, you can receive 50 copies of The Man Who Split Time, absolutely free. You just cover the shipping charge. Imagine as children come to your door, you can answer and offer them not just treats, but also the greatest gift of all. That's the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Each booklet is a chance to plant seeds of faith in young hearts and young minds. Just visit FortisInstitute.org/Halloween to claim your free booklets right now. You just cover the shipping charge. Don't miss this opportunity to shine the light of the gospel on Reformation Day. Order your copies right now at FortisInstitute.org/Halloween.
Books of the Bible.
The Book of Numbers tells the story of Israel's wandering in the desert for 40 years. The journey from Egypt to Canaan should have only taken 11 days, but Israel's grumbling and disobedience angered God, and none of the Israelites were allowed to enter the Promised Land. But God remained faithful and led their children into their inheritance. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is a test of the Carl Truman Broadcast System. How'd I do? This is Wretched Radio, Carl Truman, delivering perhaps a backhand to evangelicals who he claims aren't all that different than progressives, liberals, the seeker-sensitive movement, the low church people, the low Bible people, who turn glorious facilities into base activities in an effort to attract the world. And it isn't just in England where they're doing rave parties in these glorious cathedrals. It's happening all over the West, wherever a megachurch can be built, that's an entertainment facility. It is hard to imagine that anybody that did not live in this century would somehow go back to the future or future to the backwards, whichever, to go forward in time, would walk into a megachurch with the show that is being presented and conclude, what happened? This is church? This what is this? And according to Carl Truman, what this is childishness. And it is the fruit of liberalism. And you say, well, wait a second. I understand that the Anglican Communion could experience the fruit of Protestant liberalism because Anglicanism is Protestantism, but we're evangelicals. Hold the phone, Henrietta. There has been a low view of the Bible and an even lower view of the church that has dominated evangelicalism now for 40 years. It's the seeker-sensitive movement. It is not a high view of the Bible. It is not a high view of church. It is not a high view of God. It's very man-centric. And so the fruit of it is what we're seeing. You got to do, when you don't have anything bigger, when you don't have anything grander, when you don't have anything that's really going to attract people because they know their need and they see it as something that is more profound than their own musings, what are you going to do? You got to put on a show. You got to feed the flesh of carnal people. And that's what so much of evangelicalism is. And that is why we see so much childishness. But then he backhands us by saying, for those who are consumed by this political moment, we're no different because we're distracted and we're not remembering there are bigger things involved. And I know you can make a bit of a case to say, but we're just right now, after the election, then we'll get back to church focus. Does that sound right to you? That we take a bit of a sabbatical from the mandate that Jesus has given to us to go and make disciples, to focus on this political moment because it is a biggie. It seems to me that if that is our attitude, we need to reconsider what it is that Christ asks of us. Get to preach on that this Sunday at alpharettabiblechurch.org. Talking about Jesus' warning, if you are not ready to pick up your cross and follow me, you're not ready to be a member of the kingdom. You are still too planted in the concerns of the world. Ditch the former priorities. Now, I know I can hear somebody saying, well, that's ridiculous. So we're going to be of no earthly good. Well, I could actually respond and say, where does the Bible say we're supposed to be that? But I agree with you. There are important things that we can be about. We can be engaged in those activities. I do believe that we should be involved in politics to varying degrees based on each individual's, I think, priesthood of all believers' relationship with God. They work that out. And if some want to get involved in politics, rock on. I think we should all vote. I think that that is a privilege. Okay, you want to do a future to the back again? I think that people from the past would say, wait a second, you have the ability to determine who your leaders are going to be and you're going to stay home? Are you nuts? They would, those that never had the chance, they would be like, "What? I'm going." And I know some people would push back, but neither one of them are pro-life. We've talked about that a fair amount. And we do have about an hour long presentation on that with Andrew Walker, Tom Buck, myself, and Jason Allen. You can find it at FortisPlus.org, where we work through those issues. But the neglect of a privilege that a lot of people have bled and died for, I don't think should be neglected. I think that we should take advantage of it, even when it's not ideal. Having said that, are we perhaps out of whack? Are we perhaps needing a higher view of God, a higher view of church, a higher view of eternity, a higher view of the kingdom that he is building so that we don't take a sabbatical from the important work? Maybe it was a book, The Tyranny of the Urgent. Or was that just a slogan? Careful, you hear this at different work seminars. The tyranny of everything, you got to deal with stuff right now. And you deal with that, and it acts like a tyrant because you don't get other stuff done, perhaps longer ranging, more future fruit-bearing work done because you're just consumed by, there it is, it's in my face, it's in my face, it's in my face. And it's a tyrant. And politics can do that, can it? Because let's be honest, a lot of us kind of like the subject matter. We like the field of study. Franklin Graham was recently being interviewed talking about his displeasure with the Liberal Party, the progressives, using his dad to suggest that he would vote for Kamala Harris. And he was very clear in his feeling. He said that she is an antichrist-like candidate. That's the way a Christian should talk. If we're not framing our political discussions, if they don't sound Christian at all, I'm not saying that every conversation needs to have a Bible verse slapped on it, but it's probably not being very prophetic. It's probably not keeping our eyes on the eternal prize. Our primary message to Kamala Harris needs to be different than what comes out of conservative political PAC ads. I guess that was redundant. We should sound different. Let's see if we can do that, shall we? On Sunday, 13th October, this must have been written in Great Britain, Vice President Kamala Harris was described as a phenomenal servant of God by Bishop Rosie O'Neill, the founder and senior pastrix of Koinonia Christian Center Church in Greenville, North Carolina. Ain't never been there. Greenville, South Carolina. The bomb diggity. Speaking to the congregation, Harris encouraged them to not grow weary in doing good, quoting Galatians chapter 6. Question, what would be your message to Kamala? What would be your commentary if you were given the opportunity to address a group of, what would your commentary be on this particular story? I suspect, and I'm not saying that this would be like a sinful thought, but I suspect you might have a thought like, oh, I see. So a conservative goes to a church. That's Christian nationalism. She goes to church and she's heralded as a phenomenal servant of God. Okay, nice double standard. I would not say that response was wrong, but I don't think it's distinctly Christian. I think a Christian response would be, Kamala Harris, you show no regenerative fruit. You have no business proclaiming the word of God to use it for your political advancement. Stop using God's word. You have no right to do so, and you need to repent of using God's word for political gain. That's distinctly Christian. That's how we should be talking to politicians. That's how we should be responding to these things. By the way, just as an aside, I read an article from The Spectator. This might be something helpful for you when it comes to the pro-life argument. This individual was writing about the Selective Service Act, which makes men and not women eligible for the draft. The article was written by Scott McKay, who said that's much more invasive government claim on a male body than any abortion bans are on a female body. Huh. An abortion ban keeps inviolate not the body of an adult female, but rather that of a fetus, which left to nature would become, you know, a living, breathing human being. They already are a human being. An abortion ban tells a female who has conceived that fetus that she must do no harm. That seems like a good law, whereas the draft, if activated, tells an adult male, you must do harm. Now, not to get into the intricacies of men fighting and women not fighting in war. That's an interesting point, isn't it, regarding the life issue? That we just don't want you to hurt babies. Drafting somebody, you're asking us to go hurt somebody. Doesn't seem consistent, does it? And if we're going to respond to this, we need to respond the same way we need to respond with every political moment. Distinctly Christian sounding. Otherwise, we just might start throwing our own rave parties at the church. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, we start with the Harris Walz campaign. Now they've trotted out Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, as a paragon of new masculinity and released an ad showing various American masculine stereotypes that support abortion. Meanwhile, Emhoff is out there telling guys to vote for abortion because it affects their ability to plan their lives. Look, I could be wrong and could have been hiding under a rock for a while, but last time I checked, planning for life doesn't usually involve ending one. Now to Australia, Victoria specifically, who is proposing a new hate speech law that could land you in prison for up to 5 years for, quote, inciting hatred or severe ridicule. Their words, not mine. The laws would apply to both public and private interactions. When severe ridicule becomes a jailable offense, I think it's time we start speaking truth even louder. Now back to more campaign news. Kamala has announced an opportunity agenda for black men. That's what it's being called. It offers $20,000 loans to black entrepreneurs. The plan also includes legalizing recreational marijuana to, quote, create opportunities for black Americans to succeed in this new industry. I'll let you connect those discriminatory dots yourself. And a video of young women declaring themselves non-binary has gone viral. In the video, these young women are claiming that they have broken free from societal expectations by rejecting the gender binary. It's fascinating how in trying to escape one box, you're just putting yourself in another one. We've talked quite a bit in recent weeks about the San Jose State volleyball team having a transgender player, and we even told you earlier this week about the University of Nevada at Reno, which was the latest women's volleyball team that refused to play San Jose State. Well, there's been more developments in that story because the university released a statement condemning their women's players for forfeiting that game. And to take it even further, the university is facing backlash for not supporting its women's volleyball team. The school claims that it's about providing an inclusive and supportive environment, but apparently that environment does not include supporting women who stand up for fair play in their own sport at their own school. And finally, let's wrap up with a glimmer of hope from Poland. Citizens there are pushing a bill to shield children from online pornography. With kids as young as 11 being exposed to this stuff, it's about time someone remembered that protecting innocence is a part of protecting children. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I am Jimmy Hicks. And if you want more, I urge you to go download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And also, don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these news updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is the analogy of scripture. If God is consistent and the Bible is God's word, then the Bible is consistent. We can then use scripture to interpret scripture, understanding less clear verses in light of clear verses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yep. That's as current as we get. This is Wretched Radio. bringing you the latest in celebritainment information and news with a Bible verse slapped on it on occasion so we can sound like a Christian morning show. I was going to say on the fish, but I probably shouldn't have said that. This is Wretched Radio. Elton John, you thought he retired. No siree, Bob. He's a born-again Southerner. Not my words, his, because he just wrote a musical on, go ahead and guess, a Broadway musical. Jimmy, the star of the show is...
Himself. I don't know.
I think that's already been done.
Okay. Wasn't
there was a movie on him. Are we through that phase now where we're done making movies about celebrity people who died? I think, well, Elton John is still alive, but that was one that was done. The Queen guy, Freddie Mercury, that was done. Oh, man, Elvis had a picture done on him. I wonder, who's next? Are we going to get more of those? Elton John has decided to write a Broadway musical based on Tammy Faye Baker, which to a degree makes a little bit of sense. He said he watched her in the 70s, and he was so intrigued by her because of, you know, the makeup and the whole thing. But now he's decided to write a musical about Tammy Faye because, well, she was able to resurrect her career. She got knocked down and she was able to pick herself back up. Most of the music is joyous, wrote Elton John. It's set in the South and it's gospel-oriented. Gospel-oriented. No. No, it's not. Because if it were gospel-oriented, it would be too offensive for Elton John to write a Broadway musical over. If Tammy Faye actually preached the genuine gospel, Elton, she would be the last person that he would want to dedicate his retirement years to celebrating. Quote, I consider her to be joyous, and so it was quite easy to write the joyous songs. I love that kind of music. I'm basically a born-again Southern person. It just appealed to me. You know, he used to have a condo in Atlanta. I had dinner with Elton John once at his place at the high-rise down there in Buckhead.
Really?
Well... it was in the same building, and I was having dinner, and he might have been in his palatial suite. The point is, Elton John, if Tammy Faye Baker were actually somebody who is theologically... okay, let's put it this way. Elton John is never going to write a musical about R.C. Sproul, okay? That's what I'm trying to say here. By the way, I saw Tammy Faye Baker. Jimmy, how many times have I told this story? A couple. She was driving. She was on Cedar Avenue in Eagan, Minnesota. I know this because it was the same week when I was in jail with Jim Baker. Let me explain that. I was doing stand-up comedy in the prison in Rochester, and Jim Baker was in the audience. And then a few days later, I pulled up next to Tammy Faye Baker. She was in a white Cadillac. She looked exactly like Tammy Faye Baker because, well, it was Tammy Faye Baker, although I think she was truly sitting on telephone books to make her high enough to be able to see over the steering wheel, biting her nails like a crack addict. Just she was so nervous. And I actually felt kind of bad for her, except for the fact that she bilked people out of millions of dollars and never preached the true gospel. Speaking of gospel music, guess what genre of music is really exploding? Leave it to the Gospel Coalition to report this news. The first half of 2024, Christian music is the fourth fastest growing musical genre. And this article, of course, goes on to explain why, all of which I really have no interest in, but I did think it was fascinating to try to discern why is it that the music that is being presented these days, mostly by Elevation and Bethel and Hillsong, I'm forgetting one, a passion music, why is it so popular these days? And it is. And guess who's consuming it? Millennials and younger listeners, so Gen Zers. 39% of the overall audience in 2022, but it shot up to 45% in 2024. So the kids are consuming this music. They really dig it. And I'd like to be excited about that, but even if the music that is being sung and presented is theologically sound. I know to whom it's connected. I know this because I, every week for Alpharetta Bible Church, have to go look for music that is in alignment with the message of the sermon, because we try to present a coherent service where there is really one main emphasis. It doesn't mean that we don't talk about other elements of Christianity, but you should walk out of our church and go, yep, I know what that was about today. It wasn't like a shotgun blast all over the place. It's more like a scope. We've got a target. It is the message of the sermon, and that is what we want to reinforce with every one of the regulated elements of our worship. And so as I look for these hymns, it's inevitable. I'll even go to the AI machine, and I'll ask it to type, find traditional hymns and contemporary worship that sing about fill in the blank. This is interesting. Last week, I think that I was typing in priesthood of all believers. Well, guess what? There were some traditional hymns. There were no worship songs that had anything to do with that, which doesn't shock me, because they're, at best, to be generous, thin, not always wrong, but they're thin and they dominate. If you go to search for music for your church, I promise you, Hillsong, Elevation, the Passion music, Bethel music, they are dominating it. And so part of me wants to rejoice because it's like, okay, some of those, they aren't heretical. They're milk at best, but they're not heretical. So good, people are consuming that. But I can't get all that excited because I know to whom they are connected. And that is exactly what this article goes on to state, that these things are basically written by four major churches, and they're being consumed all over the globe. Here's what this article said. It's because the reason that Christian music, the genre, is expanding to the 2.4 billion Christians worldwide is because of streaming platforms, the Spotify, you can just go find this stuff anywhere. So it's surging in nations like, now listen to this list, Brazil, India, South Africa, Indonesia, and the Philippines, which is where we are seeing the greatest growth of Christianity. Why am I not jumping for joy? Because those expressions that are growing in those nations are very NAR-driven. They're very non-cessationistic, shall we say. And they're singing these songs, which means that they are also downloading sermons from Stephen Furtick, Stephen's from Bill Johnson at NAR Land in Bethel, Redding, California. The music, it brings people into the producers of that music. And it is coming out of really bad churches. By the way, got to tell you, one of my favorite hymns. We're going to be singing this Sunday. And at risk of doing what would be considered bad radio, that's never stopped us before, this is the type of music that I think we should be singing because it elevates God for his goodness. And it's more profound than, he loves us. Oh, how he... What God ordains is always good. His will is just and holy. As he directs my life for me, I follow meek and lowly. My God indeed, in every need, knows well how he will shield me. To him then, I will yield me. I need to hear that, don't you? What God ordains is always good. He never will deceive me. He leads me in his righteous way, and never will he leave me. I take content what he has sent. His hand that sends me sadness will turn my tears to gladness. His loving thought attends me. No poison can be in the cup that my physician sends me. My God is true, each morning new. I trust his grace unending, my life to him commending. We're singing this song because of that line. I trust his grace unending, my life to him commending. I can trust him because I know his character. And when he says die to self, I know that he has better things for us. I know that because he does not give poison to his children. What God ordains is always good. He is my friend and father. He suffers not to do me harm, though many storms may gather. Now I may know both joy and woe. Someday I shall see clearly that he hath loved me dearly. That's a song worth singing. And if there were more songs like that playing on Christian radio and Spotify that people in Brazil and Indonesia were downloading, then, oh, believe me, I'd rejoice. This is Wretched Radio. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today.
I don't know how to talk to my kids about what's happening in the world.
Feels like my faith is constantly under attack.
And if this sounds like you, understand you're not alone. Staying grounded in your faith is a challenge, and that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Fortis Institute offers free daily content to equip you with biblical wisdom for this brave new world, plus exclusive access to live webinars, weekly cartoons, and a community of believers that are standing firm in their faith. All of this at no cost to you. All you have to do is access FortisPlus.org or download our mobile app. And don't just survive in this brave new world, thrive in it. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. And if you are in a position in your life where you can help us with this new endeavor by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be ever so grateful. Again, all of the information at FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Master's Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Master's Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Master's Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. When we were dead in sin and unrighteousness, God provided the righteousness he requires in Jesus Christ, our substitute. If God has provided for our salvation, how much more is he able to meet our daily needs? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can we start the program now, Jimmy? No, you're busy texting over there.
Sorry.
Okay. This is Wretched Radio. What are you texting about, Jimmy?
I'm just getting lots of political texts, Todd. Are you not?
I thought Donald Trump was sending those to me personally. He's sending them to you too. I can't believe this. I feel so betrayed. Man, who got my number? Who gave away my number? Who's selling my name on a list to some? I'm getting more of those political texts. And what is it about getting an unsolicited spam that almost feels like a violation of my personhood. What is it about the self emails? I think we've all come to expect I'm going to get spam emails. At least you can go down, you can unsubscribe, and typically they go away. Not always, it seems, but typically. But when somebody sends me something I didn't ask for in my cell phone, hey, what are you doing in here? This is my world. I curate every conversation. I determine who I text. I let everybody go into voicemail because I, the emperor of my own little universe, am going to determine what I receive and to what I respond. And when I get one of those, and I've been getting a ton of them, who are you going to vote for? Donald Trump is throwing a party. Come down and celebrate. Are you going to the polls yet? Stop. I got to tell you, so I listened to Spotify. I'll use that. Although, you know what I've got to start doing, Jimmy? I got to start using our app. Yeah. Shame on me for that, because all the podcasts are there. I should be using, because those ads on Spotify, they drive me bonkers.
Yeah, you should probably download Fortis Plus.
I'm sorry, where can I do that?
At fortisplus.org.
Oh.
Fortisinstitute.org, too.
Fascinating. You mean where I could hear, say, for instance, Brad Bigney?
Absolutely.
Oh, I just providentially happen to have queued up. If you are not listening to Brad Bigney's, his podcast is called Thrive. I'm telling you, you're missing an opportunity for your marriage and your family to be stronger. That's all there is to it. This guy, so good. He's been pastoring for 30, 40 years in Ohio. But he's also been a regular keynote speaker at the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors Conventions. And his focus really has been marriage and parenting. So good. This is from his first, and he just keeps getting better and better and better. This is from his first podcast attempt. I'm talking about that dreadful verse that says we're supposed to submit to one another.
It really ought to be that often God's word infringes on right. What we would have thought. If you're shocked and surprised regularly by thinking, I don't understand that, that's not what I would have thought. If that isn't happening to you regularly, you're not reading your Bible right. Because Isaiah 55, God said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But oh, his ways are so good. They're counterintuitive to our flesh, but they are good. And so here is another one. And it really flows out of and is often rooted in, if you're not giving thanks and you're not killing pride, you will not want to lay down your rights. Because a proud person just thinks about what they think they deserve. We live in a day of entitlement. And so we've got guys just focusing on what they think they deserve that their wife should be doing for them. And then women, sadly, who have just watched the wrong kind of movies and read the wrong kind of books. And you might have a good-hearted, solid Christian husband, but he is just not going to be that amazing, sweep you off your feet guy. And so you're just struggling because you have these sense of my rights. What are my rights? Everyone's clinging to their rights. Now, I do want to give an important caveat here because we do also live in a day, Jason, of abuse.
Before we get back to Brad Bigney, two comments for your consideration. Number one, while that was playing, Jimmy, I don't want to brag. I kid you not. Donald J. Trump called me. My phone happened to be facing up. apparently in Georgia.
Oh, wow.
Because it's a 770 number. Second point, do you hear that tone? Did you hear the way that man was speaking? That's a shepherd. That is a pastor. That is a man who is very, very, he smells like the sheep. That's what you're getting right there. Because everything that he just said, quite honestly, was quite convicting. It was quite accusatory, not toward everybody, perhaps, but to a lot. But it didn't feel that way, did it?
And so please know, at no point do I believe someone should submit to being abused. And believe it or not, folks, this goes both directions. It's a new day. The further we go down the path of towards the end times and the darker it gets, we see men and women both sinning. I mean, we know they're sinners, but we see them sinning in similar ways. So I'm facing men who are being physically abused by their wives. So,
wow. I'll trust him. I've actually heard that before. I didn't know it was a thing. Brad Bigney, Thrive. He will help you in your marriage and your parenting. And you can listen to him at FortisPlus.org. You can get John Krautz integrated. John's program also getting great reviews because he's, again, he's a pastor. Do you hear this tone? This is the voice of a under shepherd who loves Jesus, who loves the sheep. So you can get all those podcasts. You can get them at FortisPlus.org. Then you won't have to listen to all of those political ads that they, oh man, if you're driving a Rolls Royce, then you should be voting for Donald Trump. But Kamala knows the rest of us could use a break. Okay. Over and over and over again. The most pro-abortion candidate ever, and I say that only to offer a segue into a subject on abortion that might help you. It was written by a woman, and therefore I think that she has some insights that I can't. Now, she doesn't have any more insights into the Bible than a male, but she might understand how women think better than a male does. And she wrote an article titled, "When You Can't Forgive Yourself After an Abortion." And maybe you need to hear this. And if you don't, you will be better equipped to minister to a woman that you meet in the church who has had an abortion. I can't recall the stats, but it's like 40%, maybe it's even higher, of women who have abortions claim to be Christians. So we all need to hear this on one level or another. The easy answer to the question, why can't I forgive myself from my abortion, is you don't have to. Because there's not a category in the Bible for self-forgiveness. That puts us in God's seat as if we're the offended party, and we're not. Now, but that doesn't mean that women don't feel something, and men too, who have been involved in abortion. So let's take it from this woman, Kendra Dahl. A woman who thinks she can't forgive herself may be reckoning with the reality that sin has fractured her wholeness. You're still feeling something. You know Jesus has forgiven you, but you're feeling something. In betraying her conscience and sinning against her body, she's violated her own trust, wreaking havoc on body and soul. What she needs, however, isn't self-forgiveness, but the transforming work of Christ by His Spirit. We tend to think of sanctification like we're going to sin less, but it's also making us whole. Don't forget that aspect of sanctification. Just as an aside, and I recognize full well how you can just put the pedal to the metal and go careening into a gloppy theological ditch. But I wonder if maybe in our circles we could do a little bit more to focus on the positive aspects of our Christian faith. Because this woman rightly said, we tend to think of sanctification, don't sin. Hold on. There's a positive aspect. You're becoming more Christ-like. That's a good thing. And I think for the sake of expulsing sin, you need new and better affections. That's why I think it's good that we, not exclusively, but that we include the upside of sanctification. It's good for you. Back to the article. Our desire for self-forgiveness often has more to do with sin's residual effects. If I'm still struggling, we think, that must mean I need to forgive myself. And we think maybe the shame will go away. But that isn't what's happening, writes this author. Forgiveness comes quickly as we look to Christ by faith. But healing takes time. Labeling this as the need to forgive ourselves betrays a desire to circumvent the healing process and actually control it, looking for a quick fix rather than the difficult path of walking through our pain and suffering with Jesus and in community. A woman who says she can't forgive herself may also be stuck believing she doesn't deserve Christ's healing because her sin is too great and she deserves to wallow in its shame for the rest of her life. Is that you? Please think about that sentiment in these terms. By feeling like you need to continue to wallow and swim in shame, you're diminishing the redemptive work of Jesus. He's bigger than your sin. His grace is far more expansive than your ability to violate his commands. If you've sinned by having an abortion, yeah, you sinned. But if you've repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ, you've asked for his forgiveness, you're not guilty anymore, and you do not need to. No, you're commanded to not wallow in shame anymore. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.